All right. Good evening, guys. Hope you've had a blessed day so far. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. So we do want to start with a few announcements, and then we will get into our devotion. A couple things we were talking about on Sunday, some upcoming things. Love seeing all the sign-ups filling up for the Bible studies. Love seeing that. So if you have not done so yet, we encourage you to sign up for that, men's and ladies, starting up here in just a couple of weeks. Again, with the men's study, just to kind of explain this without hopefully being too confusing. So with Right Now Media, which we made available on Sunday, we kind of launched it on Sunday. So if you got an email, if we have your email, you would have got one. Definitely want to encourage you to follow the information there to go ahead and create your account and all that. Or you can just go on our app and you can see under Media, Right Now Media is right there. And it walks you through step by step how to do that as well. But with that, the actual like group session stuff, kind of some of the discussion questions and those kind of things that we would normally have in a book is apparently through Right Now Media. So we will make that available digitally, or we can print it off absolutely free of cost. But they do recommend a book that goes along with the study that's kind of like, you know, every week you'll read a chapter from the book for homework. So if you'd like to go deeper, you can go ahead and sign up for the book as well. That's the $15 book. And so if you, and I mentioned this on Sunday, which a couple people did, so that's totally fine. But if you would like the money back that you paid for the book because you thought it was required and now the book is not actually required, just write refund next to your name and we'll get that back to you, all right? But again, if you want to go a little deeper, the book is going to be a help, I'm sure, to the study as well. Ladies, the study you guys are doing, the book is not available. The materials are not available on Right Now in that regard. So some of the studies will be, some may or may not be. So for the ladies, you would still order the book and have the book available for devotional work and all those kind of things. Monday, March 30th, so let's be praying for that. Outreach for Easter. So what you do is the sign-up sheet's at the Welcome Center. You sign up to egg someone in your community. It could be a neighbor, could be anyone. Some people have done extended family, those kind of things. So you sign up to egg someone. So what you do is you get 20 eggs. 19 of them are filled with candy, along with a flyer that will tell who you're egging, what this is all about, which has got our church information on it, service times, all that stuff. And the idea is you sign up to egg someone in the community. You pick those eggs up on Palm Sunday, and then that week, at any time that you want, you go out and you egg that house, that neighbor's house, that community house, and then leave the flyer with them. And then prayerfully, that will either start a conversation where you can kind of maybe invite them out to service, or at least have an opportunity to share your faith with them one-on-one through that outreach. And so, again, what we started doing with this a few years ago is the Wednesday night group kind of helped with the actual putting this together. So candy donations, we're looking for candy donations. It's only going to be announced to Wednesday night because I would love for our group to kind of come together and kind of take care of this. And so all the candy needs to be due the Wednesday before Palm Sunday. I think that might be like the 26th, if I'm thinking right. And so all the candy would be due that Wednesday night. And then that Wednesday night, we're going to put the eggs together. Okay? So if we have, you know, a few people that ask and we need to do like, say, 60 eggs, we can do that. If there's 20 eggs, if there's 120 eggs, we're going to bust that out in one night. We actually did this quite a few years ago when we were in the other room with a much smaller group, and I think we were done in like 20 minutes. So it's kind of a fun way to get everyone involved and helping out with that. And if you're not taking part in the actual egging of someone's house, which again always sounds funny to me to say out loud because I was always told don't egg people's houses. I never did. You know, I never would be involved in such an immature thing. But not anymore anyway. But what you're going to do is if you can't do the event, then you can still have a hand in this by putting the eggs together. And obviously we'll be praying over that as well. All right. So any questions about you've been egged? Any questions about that? All right. Asking that came from that for them. So and for other families. And so I can't wait for you to hear that on Sunday as well. Yeah, like the little plastic Easter eggs. Yep, that's what we're going to be doing. Yep. So I think last time we did individually wrapped candies. Some people did have some jelly beans, but I'm not sure if that's a good idea. Like you open it up on the grass, but I mean, my kids would eat it, so I don't know about any other kids. But yeah, usually we just do the individually wrapped candies of some kind. Yep. Awesome. Any other questions about you've been egged? All right. A couple other things upcoming. We have our Impact Student Ministries game day coming up on Saturday, March 14th, 10 to 4, absolutely free event for teens, 7th to 12th grade. This is a great outreach to encourage the students to invite friends to come on out to that. Free lunch is included. There's going to be inflatables, games, all kinds of fun stuff going on. Discovering Church Membership is coming up the 15th and the 22nd. So encourage if you'd be interested or maybe somebody you know would be interested, let them know. Secret Sisters for the ladies. Don't forget the booklets are at the table out there, the lift table. Grab one of those booklets. You're going to fill out part of that and turn that back in by March 22nd. So don't miss out on that. Also, don't forget we have our Word of Life Family roller skating event coming up Saturday, March 21st. So you definitely want to be involved in that. It's a great event, $10, and you can register by going online and taking care of that as well. Also, just a heads up, something that we're just letting you know about right now. It seems a little far away, but it's not. Our Widowers Banquet, I mentioned this Sunday as well. We have an informational meeting coming up on March 15th, right after the morning service. This is just to kind of get information. You want to help. You're interested. You've never helped before. You've helped a bunch of times. This meeting's for all of that. And so right after service on the 15th, you're going to have a short informational meeting to talk about Widowers Banquet. Barb Harmon will be leading that for us again this year, and she'll be able to answer your questions on that. And then Widowers Banquet is actually the end of April. It's the last Saturday of April, so be praying for that as well. We also have Dinner for Six coming up on the 21st, so hopefully you guys are taking advantage of that and signing up for that. It's a great way to get to know some people, so definitely want to encourage you to sign up for that. And then don't forget Operation Christmas Child March Collection is going on in the lobby. Some of you guys might have noticed this. We moved the box from by the door up onto a table in front of the military wall there, making it a little bit more accessible, not quite in the way of foot traffic and stuff. And then Brittany Edgerton put together kind of an example basket of some things that can go in the box for this month. And there's an informational flyer there as well. So a great way to see kind of what you can put in there this month. I believe it's like fidget toys, batteries, those kind of things. So go check that out, all right? So that's all the announcements I have. So unless there's any questions about anything, we'll go ahead and spend some time in prayer. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm using Sunday's bulletin for this Sunday coming up, and it's not in there because it's Saturday. So Saturday, 8 a.m., men's prayer breakfast. Don't forget, guys, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great time of food and fellowship and prayer, obviously. And we usually wrap up about 9:15, all right? So it's a great time to come together. So this Saturday, 8 to about 9:15, all right? Great time together. Any other questions about anything upcoming? Anything else going on? All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll take some prayer requests, and then we will spend some time in prayer before our devotion. So does anyone have a prayer request or a praise this evening? A prayer request or a praise before we pray? Yeah, Terry.
Keep the people involved with all that's going on in the Middle East.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, be praying for all of those involved in the situation going on in the Middle East. Leadership, obviously men and women that are serving in the armed forces, just everyone involved in that whole situation. Lifting up the Iranian Christians as well. Praying that the Lord will grow that church through all of this and that through prayerfully newfound freedoms, that it will increase the church and there'll be great growth there and people coming to Christ and all those great things. So, but let's pray for wisdom for our leaders, safety for our troops and all those that are serving, and as well for the church there in Iran and the surrounding nations. As people are fleeing out of areas, man, that the church would be receiving and gospel-centered as they receive those individuals. So for sure, be praying for all of that. Anyone else? Prayer request or a praise? Prayer request or a praise? Yeah, Paige.
My friend Shay is just going through a hard time.
Okay.
Family.
Okay.
All of
okay. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Paige's friend Shay, just going through a really rough time right now. A lot in her family. The Lord will just work in all of that. Anyone else? Prayer request or a prayer? Praise? Praise for even though it was a very short visit after all, the Tikas being with us on Sunday night. For those that weren't here or didn't hear about this, they were supposed to be here at 6, and they were coming from Canada, and apparently there was like a four-car accident coming either, I think they were saying either on the bridge, over the bridge, somewhere near there, and they sat still for like an hour and a half that afternoon. So they ended up getting here, I think it was right about 7 o'clock. And so very much an abridged service with them, but still getting to see them is a huge praise. We took a love offering, and you guys were more than generous to be able to bless them, and they were so thankful for that. But be praying for the Tikas. They're in the States still. They're going to be in the States for a little while. They were in Dearborn after they left here, and then now they're down in Indiana, kind of doing some hitting some churches down in Indiana. So be praying for the Tikas as they continue to travel around, and for their ministry in the Philippines and all of that as well. So, but anyone else before we pray? All right. Would someone like to open us in prayer this evening? Dave? Awesome. When Dave's, after Dave opens, you are welcome to pray however the Lord leads, and you're invited to do so. And so let's pray together and go before the Lord, and then I'll close this in just a few moments. Father, we just thank you so much for this time of prayer. Lord, there's something so refreshing about you. From the time we open our eyes in the morning until the time we fall asleep, there's something. There's demands on our time. There's schedules. There's just the noises of life. And so often, Lord, we can go a long period of time without really being still and just quiet before you. So, Lord, I pray that we would welcome that we would long for that. Just in the stillness of just being before you and in your presence through Christ alone, that we would draw close to you, and Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and lead us and enlighten us with wisdom and understanding, that we would know in a much deeper sense the love, the grace, the knowledge of Christ, and that we would grow in that. Father, that every day we would hunger to grow more. Lord, we are satisfied in Christ. You are all that we need. But Lord, in that same token, I pray that we would not become apathetic, but also, Lord, that we wouldn't be satisfied to the degree that we would not continue to pursue you, that we would long for you. So Lord, we lift up these requests right now. We think of Shay, Lord, with just so much going on. It sounds like just not a great situation across many different areas of her life, and from family things to financial things to, Lord, anything else that's going on. And I just pray that you would work in a way that would reveal your gospel to her, your grace to her, that she would draw close to you, that even in time of chaos and trouble, that she would, if she knows you as her personal Lord and Savior, that she would know you are with her. If she does not know you, Lord, I pray that through all of this, she would come to know you. And Lord, that you would, as your word says, bring good from all things. And Lord, again, that you would be glorified. So Father, just work in that situation. Help Paige to be just an encouragement and a light for Christ in her life. And Lord, give her the words to say, the encouragement. Lord, even sometimes just to be present without anything to say. Lord, just give wisdom there. Lord, still, that lift up our community right now. Lord, we've been praying and thinking on this area of revival. And I pray, Lord, still, that you would revive this community, these churches, our hearts in this room, and the hearts of our church, that we would long for your presence and your righteousness and your word. But Father, I also think of those in our community that are just the downtrodden. Lord, those that people just look past. Those that are broken, lost, struggling in addiction, feeling as though there's no hope, there's no answer, and that no one cares. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that in our body, as individuals, when we see or hear of areas that people are struggling, that we would do our part to pray for them, to encourage them towards Christ. Lord, just to fill that void and to serve them as best we can. So Lord, help us not to be too caught up in our own schedules and our own lives, but to realize that there are people in our area of influence that are hurting. Lord, people like what Paige shared with her friend Shay. And Lord, it's so easy to live our lives and just so focused on our stuff that we forget that other people are hurting. And so may we not be consumed by our own desires, but that we would look outside of ourselves to others as well. Father, again, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for all that you're doing. May you be glorified in all of this as we spend time in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for the men of the church that are stepping up and serving and leading and doing all those things well. We are so thankful for the men of our church. Absolutely. That's a great encouragement. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. All right, so tonight we are going to take a little bit of a one-week break from Kings. And I want to share just some thoughts on prayer. And so I know we do this often on Wednesday nights because this is our prayer night. And so I want to, every now and then, just talk about prayer, different aspects of prayer, and be an encouragement, I hope, to you guys from the Word. And so as we're stepping away to kind of dive into this topic of prayer, I was actually kind of encouraged and challenged this last week in prayer, specifically to the idea of what types of prayer do I pray? What types of prayers do I pray? And it led me to think, well, maybe we as a group, as individuals, can say, what types of prayers do we find ourselves praying? And I wanted to walk through this idea tonight with you as I, again, want it to be an encouragement in your prayer life. And maybe the Lord can grow us as we can all grow in the area of prayer and understanding how we can pray. So to set our minds on the right kind of track, if you will, I want to look at a passage that may seem not to fit what I just said, but I hope that you'll see kind of where my mind was leading in this. So Romans chapter 1, and I don't have a handout for you guys because it's going to be kind of a simple, more of just a quicker devotion. But if you would like a copy of my notes, I can get that to you, no problem. But sometimes I do like to take a little bit of a break from a handout to give you a little bit of a break of that. But Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. So Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. So if I can get a volunteer that would like to read that for us. Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Familiar passage. Many of you know this. But I hope you'll kind of, again, see where the Lord was leading in this. Who'd like to read that for us? Verses 17 through 25 of Romans 1. Oh, Dave, I thought I saw your hand. Go ahead, brother. 17 through 25, yes, sir.
Amen.
Awesome, thank you, sir. So what is one of the common ways that we would say we can understand this passage? Like, what is this passage making abundantly clear? What are some things this passage is making abundantly clear? Yep, absolutely. And so from creation, from all that Dave just shared, which is so true, we can see, that Paul says in Romans 1, the invisible things of God, right? Because God, in the sense, is not physical sitting here. So we look at his creation, and we see from creation that there's things that are true of God. And what does Paul say is really true of God? That he exists, right? That there is a God, and that he's divine, that he has authority, he has power, right? But humanity looks at creation, looks at the creation around them and themselves, and they've determined, I know that God is there. I know there is a God, but I'm not going to worship that God. I'm going to worship what? The creation, right? I'm going to make idols. That's when it talks about birds and creeping things and those things. But not only the idols we make of creation, what else do we worship of the creation? Ourselves, right? We put ourselves in that position. So it's clear that we know there is a God. We know that the God exists. We know we're supposed to worship that God. We choose to not worship that God. We worship the creation. We worship ourselves. And we do this, why? Because Paul says we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But from this passage, it's clear that all of humanity, which is what Romans 1 is establishing, right? The idea of the world, that there's this idea of the Gentiles, these non-Jews. We even find in Romans 2, the Jews as well. But what's true of all of humanity? It is natural for us to worship, right? That's really what Romans 1 is saying. The worship isn't the question. It's not, I need to teach you how to worship and then teach you how to worship the right thing. They have no problem worshiping, right? They understand how to worship. What's the problem? They're worshiping the wrong thing. And I would suggest that while it's speaking specifically to worship, I think prayer and the idea of prayer is actually natural to humanity. I think prayer, like worship, is universal. I think all of humanity understands how to pray, or the idea of prayer. The problem is, what are they praying to? What are they praying for? Why are they praying? So those questions need to be asked. But the actual idea of prayer, we see this throughout the world, right? I'll always remember my stepdad when I was first came to Christ at 16. He grew up in a very staunch Catholic home. I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, but when he grew up in the 60s and 70s, he had a lot of questions that never got answered. And so he got really turned off to church. And so when I became a Christian and he was living in the world, I thought it's my job to get him to Jesus. And it is my job to introduce Jesus to him, but I probably went about it the wrong way. I was probably more aggressive than I should have been. And we were getting these like heated talks about Jesus and his need for Jesus. And he would always come back with, he'd pull this little card out of his pocket, this little saint card. I don't know, Saint so-and-so, I don't remember the name. And he would say, I pray every day. I pray every day. And he turned the card over and there's a prayer on the back. And every day, I mean, he never went to church. He did not believe in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, but he prayed every day. And when I was saying, you need a personal relationship with Jesus, his response was basically what? I have that because I pray every day. No real background in the church other than a few things when he was a kid, and that turned him off really hardcore to it. But he thought, what? He doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, but I got to pray. I'm going to pray. And I think we see this in humanity, in our culture, right? How many times in our culture have you seen somebody post on social media, hey, can you send me your thoughts and prayers? How about in media? Something happens. We need to send our thoughts and prayers to those people, to that situation, to this tragedy, our thoughts and prayers. And I always giggle a little bit because some people will then add on the back of that, thoughts and prayers and good vibes. I have no idea what good vibes are. I don't know what that means. I'd love to give you some if I could. I just don't know what they are. I don't know how to do that, right? But it's a new age Christianity. It's a little bit of Bible prayer, and it's a little bit of good vibes and you know, these kind of new age thinking things. And it just gets all mushed together, and people are on the comments with the little prayer hands. They may or may not know Jesus, right? But I'll send my thoughts and prayers. I mean, think of it this way. When somebody's sick at your workplace, if you work in a secular job and you are around people that don't know Christ and someone's sick with cancer or someone's family member has cancer and they know you're a Christian, they'll come up to you and say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my aunt? Would you pray for my mom? These are unbelievers who know there's a need for prayer, that this is going on. We should pray. There should be prayer. False religions all over the world have heavy emphasis on prayer. And if we're being honest, while for the wrong motivations and in the wrong way, some of those sincere followers of those false religions pray more diligently and longer and more intently than many Christians that we know. Now, they're not praying. You could say, well, yeah, but they're praying to a false god, or they're praying for the wrong things, or they're praying for this. True. But the idea of prayer, they're committed to it. And I've said it before. We live in an American church culture where churches closed down on Wednesday nights, stopped having prayer meetings, which, by the way, once upon a time, every church, it wasn't just a Baptist thing or a Methodist thing. I watched the Andy Griffith Show up in the living room there, and he goes, oh, you're heading to prayer meeting? And it just dawned on me, and I was like, it's just so matter of fact in the culture of the day that he said that, and everyone watching that show knew exactly what he meant. If you said that in a show today, people are like, what's that? What's prayer meeting? But in 61, 62, whenever that show aired for the first time, it was commonplace. Now again, would I suggest to you that just because it was 60, 70 years ago, that every single Christian at prayer meeting was praying for the right reasons, that everyone was even a believer? No, that'd be foolish. We know that's not always the case. We know there's people that come to church every single Sunday and churches across this country that don't know Jesus. But they stand and sing and they bow their heads in the prayer and they do all the things. So I'm not saying that just because it was a long time ago, everything was perfect, right? We can do that. We can kind of romanticize the past. There were still unbelievers that were going to prayer meeting. My point is, churches today, instead of fighting for the idea of prayer, said, let's just shut it down. No one's coming. It's not, you know, no one wants to do this anymore. as though somehow, as time went on, the calls of Scripture changed. But it's just one of those things. These false religions, these sincere followers, pray. Why? Because in us, in humanity, there is a deep desire that was placed within us at the moment of creation to pray. That we have been created with a desire to pray, to seek relationship with the Father. That's innate in us, in all of humanity. We have that in us. Now, in sin, what does Paul say that we do with that desire? We all know we should pray, and we all know there's a God that we should be praying to, but in sin, what do we do with that? We suppress that, right? We suppress that desire. In our nation right now, one survey that I just referenced recently says that approximately 45% of Americans pray regularly. That's the term they used, pray regularly. That could be once a day, every couple of days, maybe every few days. But in any case, they pray regularly, just American. From 58%, so a drop of 13% from 2007. 2007, same survey, said 58% of Americans pray regularly. Now we're down to 45%. However, I would imagine, and you know this is true as well as a follower of Christ, I would imagine that those that say they do not pray at all, they don't want anything to do with prayer, they're non-religious, will consistently call out to the Lord in the moment of crisis. We know this is true. It's happened in our lives. As a follower of Christ, you ever been in a moment of apathy, a season of apathy, you're not really actively walking with the Lord, and something happens, and what's our first reaction? I gotta pray. Remember 9/11? People in our government standing outside in the Capitol building singing God Bless America, calling for prayer. Churches packed. The church I went to in Missouri, they ran on a Sunday, maybe like 12 to 1400, something like that. A Wednesday night, we had a special Wednesday night service where everyone came together. Our college ministry met in a different building. We met in the auditorium. And I'm telling you, it was fuller than any Sunday I ever saw it. On a Wednesday night after 9/11. And as amazing as that was, and awesome as it was, guess what happened about 3 months later? It started trickling down. And then 6 months later, it trickled down more. Why? Because our nation, the people in our nation knew, even government officials who consistently passed laws that stood against God's word, when that crisis happened, something in them said what? We got to pray. Let's call for prayer meetings. And so it's amazing to me that we see this across all of humanity. But then we have to pause and ask ourselves, if prayer is so natural, meaning I'm not saying that we pray the right way naturally, because we need the Holy Spirit to understand that. But the idea of prayer is natural. The idea of prayer is universal. And we see unbelievers and believers praying. Then we have to ask, well, what kind of prayers do we pray? And how does that compare to how unbelievers pray? So I want to ask you guys just quickly, and I'll just give a few examples. So I want to think about this. What kind of prayers do unbelievers pray? So just topics, things. What is something that unbelievers would pray for? So number one, I wrote down two, health. Okay, safety. What else? I'm sorry? Yep. This could be what? Money, house, right? Help me get that promotion so I can get that car, so I can get that boat, so I can get that cabin, right? It's all centered in the stuff, right? What else? Okay, family. What kind of things for the family? What do you think they would pray for? I would say they pray for health for their family, right? Pray for material things for their family. Help my kids to get a good education so they can get a good job and they can provide for themselves, okay? What else? Would an unbeliever pray for? Okay, yeah. Behavior of others. I'm not going to say that happens in marriages, but how many times have people said, if they would just act differently, I'd be fine, right? If they would, God, if you would just fix them, everything would be great, right? But it's not really, we're going to get to that in a second, that's the wrong emphasis, isn't it? Where does Scripture have us start? With ourselves, right? Scripture is much more pointing at us than we are pointing at others, right? What else do unbelievers pray for? How so? Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, not in the way we think of praying for wisdom, but they're praying more for like, I have a choice to make, so give me A or B, right? Can I just, I'll put God's will, because I think that's what they're... Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. Yeah. So they're praying for God's will. They want wisdom in a decision. But as an unbeliever, what do they really want? They don't want God's will. They want their will, right? So their will. What do I want? And that's what I'm going to pray for. But I'm going to kind of church it up a little bit, right? I'm going to kind of pretend like I'm wanting God to have a hand in this, but I really don't care. And we know that because no matter what the answer is, because they don't know Christ, they're not going to get the answer they should get. They're going to do what they're going to do, right? They just want affirmation. A lot of times they've already made the decision, right? Have you ever somebody come to you and ask you for wisdom or counsel and you listen to them and you give them some counsel and they go out and they do the exact opposite of what you said? And you're like, okay, that's fine. Maybe you just didn't agree with me. But then you find out they really had already made the decision. They were just going to people to get confirmation. And you said what the opposite was. They didn't listen to you. They went to the friend that said, oh, they agree with me. I'll do that, right? So we do that with prayer too. How about... Okay, three wishes. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the genie idea, right? How about help in crisis? We just talked about that one, right? Help in crisis. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they the person that passed away didn't know Christ. The family may not know Christ. But because this person died, we automatically know we need to be praying. So we kind of treat it like they were this, like, knew the Lord or whatnot. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so this is the kind of stuff that unbelievers might pray for, okay? Now, when we think about believers, and let me make sure I'm at the right point here. That's right. What's the key in a lot of this? Where's the key in all this? Where's the foundation of this? Self, right? So this is what self wants, right? That's actually an S, believe it or not. And I people that are unbelievers pray, they're doing this for different reasons, different motivations. It's self-centered a lot of times. It may be a show, right? They're just trying to show that they're spiritual, but they're really not. To impress others or seem spiritual. It may also be a desire to manipulate God. That's that three wishes idea, right? I did this, God, you got to do that. Maybe even by using many words, just the expanse of words. The more I say, God will listen. So three verses. I'm going to need three volunteers quickly to go here and read these. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Who wants that one? We'll just go boom, boom, boom. Okay, Jeff. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. Who wants that one? Mark 12, 40. Going. Claudette, thank you. And then James 4, 3. James 4, 3. Who's got that one? TJ. Wow, dude, your name just left me. Okay. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Go ahead, whenever you got it there, brother. Okay, so don't use vain repetition like the heathen do because they think they're going to be heard because of what? They're much speaking. This is not a warning against praying the same prayer more than once. Some of you have been praying for a lost loved one to come to Christ for years. And you hear that and you go, it's repetitious. The key word is vain, empty. There's no substance. That's the difference. I just keep saying words hoping that something will stick, right? Jesus forbids that. Okay, Mark chapter 12, verse 40. Okay, so some of the religious leaders that don't have that relationship, but they're making lengthy prayers for what reason? For show, right? To impress, okay? Are lengthy prayers wrong? No, but lengthy prayers to show off, to seem spiritual, to try to impress, that's coming from the wrong heart, right? That's the problem. And then James chapter 4, verse 3. Okay, thank you, sir. So we ask amiss, we ask wrongly, and what was our desire? Why did I ask for that thing? Because my lust wanted to be satisfied. I wanted it because I wanted to consume it. All those material things that I just want because I want them, right? And what does James say? Is God going to answer that? Why would God answer a prayer request that will draw you or push you farther from him? He'll never do that. So we see what unbelievers pray, what kind of prayers they pray for. Now let's talk about believers, dropping the cap. So the first thing I'll throw on here, because we already kind of caught this, is I would add to believers, first one, I would add healing. Healing. Is that fair? Do believers pray for healing? I mean, our prayer guide is full of requests for healing, right? So we have health and we have healing. Okay, so there's a similarity here. What's something else believers might pray for? What? Okay, wisdom. Now, what's the difference between this wisdom and asking God's will down here? Yeah, this is God's will, right? I'm asking literally for God's will. And what does that mean? If he says wisdom is take the job that's less money, if he says go against your desire in this area and do this, serve in this way, even though you're not comfortable doing it, that's an answer, right? It's wisdom. It's not a want that I wanted to hear, but it's wisdom. Now, sometimes what's wisdom? Wisdom is, no, take this job and go do this, and that's fine. But that's, again, we're being flexible to his leading. What's another thing that we would pray as believers? Pray for others, yeah. Again, we're praying for family's will to be done. For people, but not in a controlling sense, and not that we're God. We're interceding for God's will to be done, right? What else?
Guidance.
Okay, guidance. Okay, guidance in a certain area, right? Absolutely. Glorifying him, what? Okay, yeah. Yeah, just exalting Christ, glorifying him because he is the Lord, right? What else? Okay, repentance. That's repentance for us, right? We're constantly asking, we're repenting, we're growing in that. And this is also praying for others to repent, right? Which leads to praying for what? Yeah. Salvation for the lost, right? What else? You got? I'm sorry? Unpack that for me. Just I want to make sure I understand what you mean by preventative prayers. I think I know what you're saying, but. Okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say like. Yeah, 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 exactly. Now, again, let's pause for a second because I've heard people kind of pick at when people pray for traveling mercies. But we actually saw an example of that in Ezra. Right? Do you guys remember our Ezra study way long ago? Ezra actually spent time praying for the journey, praying the Lord would get them to where they were going, praying for vision, right? Those kind of things. So it's not unbiblical to pray for God to give us traveling mercies. However, if I pray, Lord, I'm asking you to get me, we just went up to Mount Pleasant and saw Anthony performing in concert. And we prayed before we left. We prayed, you know, before we left our friend's house and we came back. But it dawned on me, I was thinking about this idea. I prayed, Lord, get us there safely and get us home safely. But then it kind of dawned on me, what if God's will is different than that? Like, and it just kind of came to me, like, what if God's will is for me to go be with him through something that happens on this trip? Now, we don't want to think about that, right? When we say, Lord, give us safety on the way home, what are we automatically assuming he's going to do? He's going to get us home. But we're assuming the will of God there. So we should say, Lord, give us safety on the way home if it be your will. And if your will is different, then you will take care of that. I'm not saying that we should automatically assume the worst either. I'm just trying to get us to think. I sometimes pray more like an unbeliever. And I pray a prayer, and then I think God is pigeonholed into doing what I said. That I've put him in that box. That is not how prayer works. Prayer is not a controlling technique for God, of us over God. Prayer is us submitting to him as Lord. But I do believe we can pray for protection, provision, those things. Protection. Okay? Yeah, Terry. That my life would glorify him. Okay? Okay? Okay, that my life would be glorifying to him in submission and in trust and obedience, right? Living in faith. I'm out of room, but I would add, if someone can get that door, saying thanks, Zach. I would add a couple more here. How about help in crisis? Would we pray that as believers? Yeah, we're fine. I didn't write it here, but do unbelievers pray for thankfulness? Do they give thanks in prayer? Do they give thanks in prayer, unbelievers? We have a whole day in our calendar as a nation that we celebrate what? Thanksgiving. A lot of unbelieving families will sit around a table and say, okay, someone say grace. Why? Well, because grandma used to always say grace, and so we should keep doing this. And somebody will pray a prayer of saying, thank you for this bounty that we receive, because they learned that way long ago. So thankfulness can be something that unbelievers pray, but they're not really being thankful to God. What are they really thinking potentially? I'm thankful that I made this money. I'm thankful that I put the food on the table. Thank you for thanking me. But over here, if we're thankful, who are we thanking? We're thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you for giving me breath in my lungs to go to work, physical strength, the intelligence. If you work at a job where you use your mind a lot, numbers or things like that, you didn't make your mind to be able to do those things. You learn the material, but who created your mind to absorb that material and reproduce it and redo it? God gave you that. You work with your hands, God gave you that. That's the amazing difference. So we're thankful, they're thankful, but it's different. All right, quickly, we're almost out of time. As you think about all these things, many of these things could be similar in topic or title. However, the prayers of the believer are guided by, and I want you to get this, our prayers, as those that are followers of Christ, are guided by the Word, founded on the gospel, and for the glory of the Lord. Our prayers are guided by the Word, founded on the gospel. Why are our prayers founded on the gospel? Go ahead, yeah. He's the creator of all, but he's only the father of those who have trusted in Christ. And he does not hear the prayers of the unbeliever. Now, when I say that, what do you might think? Well, he's God. He hears everything. Yes, he is aware of their prayers, but he is not responding to them as a father. He has a relationship with them as he does with his church. So our prayers must be founded on the gospel. What does that mean? Often, if I can encourage you with this, before you get too long into the list of requests, before you get into some of these requests, just remind yourself you're only having your prayers received because of the gospel. So take a moment in your prayer life and really do this. I think it'll change how we pray. Lord, I don't pray this in my strength. You're not hearing me because of me. You're hearing me because of Christ. He's the mediator that has made this way possible. We also must be guarded as believers in our prayer life against the flesh when we pray. The flesh wants us to think and pray with self at the center, to pray for only what benefits me and makes my life more enjoyable from purely a worldly point of view. We pray for things that make our lives more convenient, more comfortable. That's how unbelievers would pray. We don't pray that way. However, we have an advantage. We have a gift that can help us in this battle against the flesh in our prayer lives. And that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead us into all truth, including when we pray. And so we can pray exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, if it aligns with the Lord's will and for his glory. If it aligns with the Lord's will and for his glory, we can pray anything. I love what one author said. One author said this: the key distinction that sets the Christian prayer life apart from nominal prayers is that the Holy Spirit is involved and spirits. In other words, Christians pray for more, not less. But when we're praying for more, we're not asking for more for me. We're praying for more of him, more of his glory. In closing, I want to read a quote from John Piper as he writes about the need for Christians to pray like Christians. That's the whole idea of tonight. We as Christians need to pray like Christians. We need to think like Christians. We need to act like Christians, of course. And so often we focus much more on the action than the inner activity, right? We try to make sure our behavior is right and all that, and that's fine. We should be living moral, obedient lives. But we get so caught up in the outward, we forget that we should be praying like Christians. And I think as we pray like Christians, our actions, our activities will follow in that way. But I love what Piper writes here. He says this: I am pleading for all Christians to pray like real Christians. I am pleading that you are never, I'm sorry, that you never give in to the criticism that it is more loving to ask God to give people his gifts, but not himself. So as we intercede for people, we're not just praying, Lord, bless them with this need and that need. No, Lord, bless them with a relationship with you first and foremost. And then we can pray for the other things. He goes on. I am pleading that all prayer be Christ-exalting, God-centered, sin-confessing, Spirit-dependent, promise-trusting, holiness-pursuing prayer. So let me just ask you, don't answer out loud, but just we're going to close in prayer in a moment. Would you describe your prayer life as that? Would you say your prayer life is Christ-exalting, that it's God-centered, that it's sin-confessing, not pointing out to God the sins of others and not talking about how God needs to fix them? Now, we can pray for our brothers and sisters if we know they've stumbled into sin. The Bible calls us to that. But we're not doing it in a condemning, judgmental way. We're saying, Lord, would you show them your grace? May you draw them to repentance. May they choose Christ. But we also need to make sure we're what? Lord, thank you for saving me, for forgiving me. Forgive me for this sin, this word of bitterness, this act of anger. So again, is it Christ exalting, God-centered, sin-confessing, Spirit-dependent? Are we praying for things that God can do, not just praying for the things that we can do? I've loved that quote. I forget if it was D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon, one of those great giants of the faith, went to a prayer meeting, and he was listening for a few moments, and he stopped the prayer meeting, and he said, you're all praying for things that you can all do. And they were like, what? And he was like, well, you just prayed for this, but you can take care of that. You prayed for those orphans to have a meal, but you can give them a meal. You prayed for this, but you can take care of that. You can fix that. He said, a prayer meeting is to ask God to do the things only he can do. Now, I'm not saying we don't pray for God to provide and those things, but I love the heart of that. Do we pray Spirit-dependent prayers? God, you need to intervene here. That's why I think when we pray for revival, we don't pray for revival and then think it's up to us to help the Holy Spirit create revival. He does that work. So we just pray for him to work. Promise trusting. Do you trust the promises of God? Do you spend your whole prayer time doubting your salvation because you don't really trust that God really saved you? Or do you trust God's promise that he did save you because his word says he did? Holiness pursuing. Am I praying for God to grow me in holiness? Not just in activity, but in my mindset, in my words, my actions. And I love how he ends. In other words, I am pleading that we really love people when we pray for them. When we pray this way, we're really showing a love for others when we pray for them, that they would be Christ exalting. They would be Spirit dependent. And the many other things that we talked about. So I want to encourage you guys tonight, simply this. We're going to wrap up in prayer in just a moment. But I want to encourage you with this. What kind of prayers are you praying? Maybe better still, what is the motivation behind the kind of prayers that you're praying? Like, why do you pray what you pray? Do we pray it just because I really want it? I'm not saying we can't pray and say my desires are in submission to his will. He says, bring me the desires of your heart. But I believe that's in the context of him conforming our heart to agree with his. And so we can pray, Lord, I ask that you would do this. I believe this is your will. Lord, I desire this. I ask that it would be according to your will. So I'm not saying we don't share our hearts and share our desires and tell God what we're thinking. Of course we do that. But we need to always make sure it's founded on the gospel and centered around his will, his glory. Not just my comfort and convenience. But I mean, a lot of times we as Christians, we pray more, God, make me comfortable. Instead of, God, I know this life is going to be difficult. And in the praises, I'll give you praise. And in the difficulties, I'll give you praise. Lord, give me endurance through the temptations. Give me wisdom through these seasons. So I want to encourage you. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3 are two of Paul's prayers for the church. Those are great examples of prayer. And the things he prays for the church, prays for other believers. Lord, help us to grow in the knowledge of grace and truth and love. Help us to grow in the depth of your word. These are the things we can be praying for each other. So I want to encourage you in that tonight as we close in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the reality of the gospel. Lord, that we don't come in our own merit, in our own strength. But Father, we come because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your death, burial, and resurrection is why we are able to come before you, our Heavenly Father. And I'm so thankful that you invite us through that relationship to cast our cares, to cast our burdens at your feet. If it's making us anxious, Lord, you call us to cast that down at your feet. And because you care for us, you will receive those things. And Lord, you may change the circumstance, or you may change us in the circumstance. Lord, whatever the answer is, I pray that we would know that you are working, that you are good and loving, and your glory is being displayed. And so, Father, help us to pray like Christians. Help me to pray like a Christian. Not to be so consumed with self, but more consumed with you. Less of me, more of you. And Father, I pray that in this discussion tonight, Lord, as we talk about prayer and the examples of prayer and the things we pray, I pray that we would come into this not with a list so much as this, I have to pray these five things or these seven things or these 10 things. Lord, I pray that we would gather from tonight, Lord, that there are so many different areas in which we can pray and seek your will by praying for protection and provision over our family, ourselves, others, interceding for them. By praying for healing for those that are ill, asking you to do the work of healing them, Lord. Father, by being thankful and grateful for all that you do, all the many blessings, how prayer really is universal, that as human beings we've been created with this instinct, this desire to pray. I pray that we would see the similarities and recognize that we all are going through stuff. We all have similar needs. And I pray that we would recognize that in Christ, those needs can be met. Maybe not the way we want, but they will be met according to your will. And so, Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the gift that it is. I pray that we would not treat it as an afterthought. At the end of the day, a couple minutes of prayer. Lord, if that's all we have, then you'll receive that, of course. But I pray that we would, that I would, I keep saying we, Lord, but that I would think more diligently about prayer. I'd be more devoted. Lord, Scripture is full of men and women that you used in great ways, and they were people of prayer. Church history is full of examples of great moves of God. Every time, it was a move of prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that we individually and we as a church, that we would believe in the power of prayer. We would see its importance. So, Lord, do we pray for others as we should? Do we pray for our spouse? Not pray that you would change them or fix them, but that we would pray that we would be the spouse for them that you're calling us to be. Do we pray for our children? Not that they would make a lot of money one day and be really, really successful in the world's eyes, but do we pray that they would come to know Christ, to grow in Christ, to serve Christ? Lord, whether it's in a corporation, or in a mission field. Lord, in just all these ways, Lord, just help us to grow and to know more what you'd have for us. Thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. And Lord, thank you that when we stumble in this area of prayers, I know I have many times, you pick us up, you've never left, and you're right there for us. And so Father, again, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these that have gathered. I pray you'd bless in a mighty way as we go our supper up. We thank you for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Help yourself. There may or may not be brownies out there. I don't know. But if there are, help yourself. And we'll see you guys Sunday morning.